Blog Talk Radio.
What's good, Giblets? It's the one, the only, Brian Rails. Who the fuck else? Now, I've noticed some things that happen on the weekend in wrestling, especially in CZW. I don't know if everyone watches it because it's now closer in time to WrestleMania 34, but I have watched a few of Sammy's shows, including at Wrestling Revolver in Orlando last year at WrestleMania, and I've watched him Wrestling Revolver twice now in Clive, Iowa. So what all happened with Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards, some may say that's Botchomania 101. For those of you who really don't comprehend what happens in the world of professional wrestling is just like what happens at your job. You screw up. You know you didn't mean to do it. Sometimes you get fired for said screw-ups. And sometimes, well, you learn your lesson the hard way. Did Sammy intentionally do that to Eddie? I guarantee you. I don't know Sammy personally. I've bumped into him a couple of times at Revolver shows, but that does not mean that I know him. What I'm referring to is when he hit Eddie in the head with a baseball bat, my only concern with that moment was he got busted right in the eye socket. He got hit right in the eye socket with a baseball bat. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had 4 eye surgeries, and I know this is not about me. Not to take away from the situation, but ow, pictures of him, the pictures of Eddie Edwards, it's all over the internet. It was on TMZ, which you know it's a big deal when it makes them, right? That won the internet, supposedly. I mean, come on. How often is it that someone gets blasted right in the kisser, or right in the face, with a baseball bat when they're already laying on the mat? I'm pretty sure Sammy's intent was to let Eddie Edwards know who was boss, right? He didn't intend to bust someone's eye socket out, because I've seen Sammy's matches, not all of them. I'm pretty sure my former colleague could tell you all about that. Me personally, it all takes, you know, but one person to expose what happened to Eddie Edwards to the whole other level. And while we're thinking about that thought, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pause 10 seconds for station identification right here on Wrestle Radio. We're back, ladies and gentlemen, live here on Wrestle Radio. We are on the road to WrestleMania, and we are on the road to cleaning up messes, right? So, I mean, is this even a mess? I don't think so. I mean, it's more of like, damn, son. Because if you take a gander at Eddie Edwards' face, and you see what happens. Now, some of you may say, what's the point of hitting a man while he's already down? You know, that only works if you're trying to add injury to insult. I believe nobody can answer this question better, or these questions better, than Sami Callihan himself. I'm under the belief that if you ask Mr. Callihan just exactly what was going through his mind while he was, you know, completing the dastardly deed of beating Eddie Edwards to a bloody pulp, he'll straight up tell you, we all make mistakes. We all know we make mistakes. It's just a matter of, okay, can we own up to it? And can we move forward from it? I, as a fan, don't really care that this happened because, like I said, we all make mistakes. We all intend on rectifying said mistake by making a promo, which is what Sammy, that's what Sammy did. He's a businessman. You have to make the smart move. You can't just dwell on it and say, oh, man, I'm going to hang up the boots because I made one mistake. But you also can't sit there and say, well, I'm just going to sit down and do nothing, blah, blah, blah. I hope my prayers and thoughts are with this dude, blah, blah, blah. Now, I've seen my fair share of injuries on the fan side of perspective. I've also seen injuries, you know, shown from an armory in which an individual leaped off the top rope and landed really bad on his neck. This was probably 2 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. I wasn't live, but I, like I said, I've seen my fair share of wrestling, quote unquote, botches. I hate that term. I just call it, you know, I just call them what they are. They're mistakes. They're not intentional. It's like when you go to a baseball game and somebody hits a foul ball and it hits a little girl right in the face and it wasn't intentional. I'm referring to the Yankees game when the former third baseman of the Yankees, Todd Frazier, accidentally hit a foul ball and, you know, hit a little girl or a little guy or whatever. And thankfully that little girl, yeah, it's a little girl, thank you, is okay. I'm sure it's going to take Eddie Edwards an ample amount of time to get over his busted out eye socket, because let me tell you, the only reason why I said I cringed when I saw that is because some people who have a sick, demented mind would laugh at it and say, well, you're just feeling sorry for yourself because you've had eye surgery. No, dude. Do you know how much of a pain in the ass it is to put in drops every single day for an eyeball that's needed repair? I mean, I just recently had a growth removed. For those of you wondering why I'm kind of pissed off, it's because the gentleman here says, I'm just using this to sympathize with that pussy, Eddie Edwards. Well, you try taking a baseball bat to the eyeball. We'll see how you feel. I mean, come on. Wrestle_radio. I'm open to opinions. If you have them, please send them my way. If you don't, then I suggest you just take a seat back and listen to what I have to say. There's plenty of mistakes that have been made in the wrestling ring. Brock Lesnar, Shooting Star Press, looked terrible at WrestleMania, although some of you may disagree. I don't care. The fact still remains. Mistakes, what's the difference between a mistake and a perfect match? Because I'd like to figure that out. Or a perfect moment. Now, granted, back in the day, Sting, a very highly revered wrestler, used a baseball bat in the ring, and he used it on the NWO as a warning mechanism towards Hollywood Hogan. Now, what's the difference between that and what happened between Eddie Edwards and Sammy Callahan? Oh, there's several differences. One, Sting used a baseball bat, correct. Sammy used it as a weapon as well. And it's not only just Sting that had used baseball bats in wrestling, although that's the most iconic example that I can think of. I've seen plenty of Eddie Edwards as well. I've also seen several matches with Sammy Callahan involved, and he's always been a worker that's worked safe, and he's always been a guy that's kept it positive, even though, you know, it was an accident. okay, he didn't intentionally the baseball bat on the guy's eye socket. But still, my reaction to that whole incident was, ow. And my second initial reaction was, eh, shit happens. It was a freak accident. I'm sure Sammy's going to, you know. I heard that his reaction when he went to the back was he was upset. Has to be understood, man. You make a mistake. We all made mistakes. We've all learned from them. So, I mean, oh, yeah, this is a learning curve for a guy who's been in the business for 10-plus years and owns several different wrestling organizations and helps book and promotes them, too. We're going to pause 10 more seconds for station identification, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Wrestle Radio Network Live.
Bullet Club 4444 Live.
Everybody in the wrestling business starts out thinking, hey, you know, I'm going to be this guy, I'm going to be this guy, I'm going to be this gal, I'm going to be awesome, and I'm not going to make a mistake. I don't think that's everyone. And for the person who just messaged me that on Instagram, that's why I had to pause, ladies and gentlemen, and take another 10 seconds. It's because you don't start out perfect in this business. I mean, I sure as hell did not. I ran my mouth, and the promoter said, you know, we gave you this role, and it was to teach you a lesson. But you know something? There it is. Whenever people go into pro wrestling thinking it's going to be a breeze, it's going to be fun, it's going to be like what it's going to be like what I see on TV, big mistake, because it's one thing to think like a fan, but it's another to actually follow suit and follow through. Okay, if you can allow yourself to make wavelengths with fans, like leave a lasting impression on them, be happy with them, be cordial with them, have fun with them, great. What I'm referring to now is, though, folks, is please pay attention to what I'm saying, is that Sammy Callahan, great guy. I've met him only once or twice. For those of you who think I know Sammy personally, I don't. But I can just say for the people who, why in God's name would you do this, blah, 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 blah. Why would you hit a man when he's already lying on the mat? There's no rhyme or reason. I do happen to listen to Jim Cornette's podcast, and there's sometimes where it's hit and miss with Jim. I love him to death. He's an awesome guy. One of my many inspirations. But point I'm trying to get at is, I don't think Sammy intentionally did it, number one. Number two, to cut a promo afterwards is not in poor taste. That's called the wrestling business. You got to capitalize off of what happens in order to get yourself attention. Simple marketing 101, right? If you know a situation's a hot button issue, you take advantage of it, you talk about it, you discuss it. You eat lunch, you talk about it, you eat dinner, you talk about it, hell. For us wrestling fans who are addicts to the business, addicted to the news, not the dirt sheets, there's a difference. Sammy Callahan did what he did because he sought out, you know, you have a plan in the back. You go over it with everybody and their mother or everybody that's involved. Then you actually carry out or execute the plan. Unfortunately, what transpired wasn't exactly in Sammy's plan. And I don't speak for Sammy. I don't, like I said, I don't know him personally. But in his defense, he did what was, in his mind, the best thing to do. I guess hitting somebody in the eye socket, which, again, was not his intent. And the reason why I empathize with Eddie Edwards is because I've had 4 eye surgeries. I can tell you, is your eyeballs compared to any other surgery, yeah, any part of your body that gets fucked up is, and you have to get surgery for it, because I feel for you. But eyeballs, man, that's no joke. That's your vision. That's your way of life. That's how you see beauty. That's how you see ugly. That's how you see things and go, what the hell? So from Eddie Edwards' perspective, to be out of action for that long, and you're in the professional wrestling business, it's always good to have a backup plan. So that's why it's always good to have 2 jobs. One is wrestling, and the other one's the job that you need for money, right? So you got to think, the only thing that's possible, it seems, you know, possible for me to think of as far as intentional goes, there is none. Because in wrestling, you make no excuses, you make no qualms about it. You just go out and you do what you're supposed to do. That's why I mean, some people, oh man, what an asshole, he busted the guy in the eye socket. That's why you got to dumb it down for people who don't quite understand the other side of the business. In other words, if you don't want to hear this because, you know, I know I may not be a wrestler, but I basically know how it works. No, the fuck you don't. No, you don't. You've not been on the road. You have not sacrificed putting out promotional flyers, staying at, you know, putting on your Twitter or your Instagram that you're going to be at an IHOP and you're signing autographs a certain time. You know, you got to charge money for that so you make extra income so that you can pay for production and all that stuff. And then you go to the show, you talk to your wrestlers in the back about how the night's supposed to go. And we all know how this works if we've ever worked in the indies before, right? You go to the back, you say, okay, Sammy, you know, if I was Sammy, I could say, this is what's going to happen after the match. I'm going to come out. I'm going to basically beat the shit out of Eddie Edwards with a baseball bat. That did not include, I'm going to bust your eye socket open, sir. So therefore, Melvin, is that your name? Melvin from Cincinnati, Ohio. To answer your question, sir, why was it a thing to do a promo at the end for Sammy Callahan? You know, granted, Impact Wrestling, it was happening in Impact Wrestling, not CZW. But to answer your question, sir, the why he did the promo thing, I can only think of 1 or 2 things. Number one, like I said, you have to touch on the hot button issues when it comes to professional wrestling. You have to. And you also have to reach and engage your audience in a way that'll make them think that Sammy's a big asshole. But he's not. Okay? What he did constitutes as wrestling 101, right? You reach your audience based off an incident or event or controversial event that occurred. Does that make you the bad guy? Technically, it made Sammy get over even more because he said something or did something to Eddie Edwards that was, in your words, sir, heinous and unreal. It was unreal to see the eye socket pictures at the end. I feel bad for the dude, but homeboy shouldn't have done a promo. Well, the homeboy you're referring to is a very decorated person in the wrestling business. He's well known. Not just here in the States, my friend. He is known in Japan. He is known in the UK, Australia, Canada, you name it. Sammy's been there, done that. Bought the t-shirts and sold them. Okay? So that concludes the discussion about Sammy Callahan and Eddie Edwards for now. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight on Monday Night Raw, I don't know what's going to transpire. All I know is that it's WrestleMania 34, and I am ecstatic on what I will be doing over the weekend in New Orleans in the Big Easy with a good friend of mine who has been to WrestleMania with me before. Now, he's not on the show, but I will be traveling to New Orleans to not only see WrestleMania, but I will be going to WrestleMania Access. I will be going to WrestleCon. I will be seeing good old JR Jim Ross at the Hilton Garden Inn Hotel. If you haven't done so, get your tickets now at Ticketfly.com. The first 100 members will receive a barbecue sauce bottle and his book, which I would love to read on the plane right home back to Brooklyn, okay? And it would be so cool just to see JR and ask him questions. Anyways, so WrestleMania 34 weekend, so that means Monday Night Raw. Definitely going to be interesting now that Triple H and Stephanie are surfacing back. Well, mainly the fact that Ronda Rousey signed a contract on or at Elimination Chamber. There was some controversy surrounding that. See, most of you thought it was going to be The Rock, correct? I believe they were gearing it towards Kurt Angle because of what happened at Survivor Series. They'd already planted the seeds in Houston. Yes, Triple H was the sole survivor because he pedigreed Shane. Actually, you know, Braun Strowman, Kurt Angle, and Triple H were the remaining members. So I wonder, you know, what's going to happen. I really, really do. So tonight on Monday Night Raw, what can we expect? Can we expect another gauntlet match that lasted about an hour and close to 2 hours? I mean, that was the first time I've ever seen wrestling instead of 20-minute promos. Good prelude, right? Still on a euphoria high about what Roman Reigns said last week on Monday Night Raw. Mind you, Lesnar was supposed to appear, but he never showed. Okay? A lot of people no-show their press conferences. They no-show a lot of things in boxing, UFC, NFL, what have you, because they're either prima donnas or they think they're the best thing that hit planet Earth, right? What I'm trying to say, guys, is I'm happy. I'm finally happy that Roman Reigns opened his ability to promo, to speak strongly, if you will, about the issue concerning Brock Lesnar. You bring in a champion that's not relevant. How is that an irritation? I'll tell you how. Because one look at the WWE Raw roster and you'll say to yourselves, man, this roster is full of talent, full of awesomeness. You know, there's nobody that's not talented in this group of people. However, when you hit the Universal Champion, you click on his bio, his t-shirts pop up, his accomplishments, such as beating The Undertaker, becoming one of the youngest WWE champions of all time, defeating Hulk Hogan, defeating The Rock. So he's defeated a lot of legends. The only problem is, when you don't show up to work, that makes you look really bad. Okay? So Roman Reigns exposed what most of us have been wanting to expose, well, some of us. It's bad, you know, I had a chat with my father. He said that I'd rather have Cena than Lesnar. That's an interesting take on things, you know, because when I got introduced to wrestling, you always had a fighting champion. Even Hollywood Hogan would show up to events. The only time he'd never show up is if it was part of the story or if he didn't feel up to the task. I've never seen in all my years of watching wrestling, folks, a guy that does not show up for a face-to-face segment. Now when Roman Reigns said, I'll take my ass chewing like a man, I'm pretty sure that Sammy Callahan was not going to take his ass chewing like a man, but he was pretty highly upset. Just like Roman Reigns, I mean, you week in and week out, you show up. You know that fans are going to boo your ass. But when you point out something so blatantly obvious to get the attention of the higher-ups and also the board of directors, who just watch merchandise as it flies off the rack, and it's not just Brock Lesnar. It's the principle of thing, you know, the company's trying to keep a main event together. They're trying to keep a wrestling promotion together. The WWE's got some pretty freaking fracking strong glue then, because if one of your golden children start complaining about another person, take into effect, Roman Reigns worked his way from FCW all the way up to the main roster from NXT. So it's not uncommon for people to complain at the workplace. Trust me from experience. It all depends on though how you present it and how well, in this line of work, fans are going to perceive it. Promo was not spoon-fed. This was a straight-up shoot. Okay? Roman Reigns is not well-liked by a lot of people. They said, well, you made one good promo. Does that make me like him? I didn't ask for your approval, but I sure as hell know what it takes for fans to just change their mind in a week. Oh, and as far as the women go on Monday Night Raw, I love the fact that Asuka found her way to the women's title picture. I mean, come on. Almost 2 years unbeaten. That's over 800-plus matches. She's the very first winner of the Women's Royal Rumble. And now I'm switching gears, folks, but please bear with me. The women on Raw are carrying the show. If they start off the night being the curtain jerks, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Asuka, Mickey, Nia, and Alexa. So I guess there has to be a trio that takes over the duties for Absolution, right? Because Paige can't really do anything for at least another year. So we're on the road to WrestleMania. Which brings me to the next former UFC star turned WWE superstar, Ronda Rousey. She's adjusted quite nicely. You know what? I'm surprised that she did as well on the mic as she did, because Shayna Baszler, well, that's a different story. She's getting better, but still needs a lot of work because she's still bland. She's still generic and still very boring. Now, I don't know what to expect on tonight's edition of Monday Night Raw. All I know is I'm going to tune in. I'm not going to tune out because I'm a broadcast journalist. I do have my credentials because podcasting, that's broadcasting, right? Hopefully Corey Graves' hair is much better. Love you to death, dude, for what you said on Twitter. That was fucking awesome. Anyways, like I said, it's WrestleMania weekend. We'll see what happens and what unfolds between Kurt Angle, who got sucker punched on last week's Monday Night Raw. We'll see how that turns out tonight. And folks, I got to segue into the advertisements. For those of you wishing to attend Monster Factory Super Camp on April 20th and April 21st, you can do so by going to your desktop computer, your smartphone, your Apple phone, your Android, your whatever, monsterfactory.org. There's more information about it. You can attend the Super Camp. For more information, contact Danny Cage directly through monsterfactory.org through email. You can text him because his number is on the website, monsterfactory.org. Do not call at inopportune times, but call if you have a question regarding the super camps. So, therefore, if you have any questions, go to monsterfactory.org and complete your dream of becoming a professional wrestler, broadcast announcer, whatever, what have you. Trust me, these super camps are going to be well worth it. I am attending the super camp on April 20th. My word of advice, folks, if you're going to Monster Factory, fly to Philadelphia's airport. It is closer. For more information, like I said, visit monsterfactory.org for full details, and also download the Monster Factory Network for more documented details every single day about the world-famous Monster Factory. For those of you wishing to attend a wrestling school in the Midwest, you can do so by going to Brayford Black in Iowa, 3XW School. For more information for 3XW, contact Todd Countryman on Facebook. He will take your messages. He will listen to your inquiries. So please, please send info to Todd Countryman. All right. for those of you wanting to attend a wrestling school in Kansas City, do so by going to NWLTPC. Search on Google, look on NWLLeague.com for more information, set up a tryout, set up an appointment. It is located in the North Kansas City, Missouri area. For more information, feel free to call them. Their number is located on the website. It is located in NWLLeague.com as well. For those of you wanting to fight the good fight against cancer, you can do so by visiting two websites, SusanGComan.org and Cure for Connor. Cure for Connor is a site that dedicates its funding research and also dedication to fighting the good fight against pediatric cancer. For those of you wanting to donate your time and information, go to WWE.com. The two links to those websites are on WWE's direct website. For merchandise regarding Susan G. Komen and Cure for Connor, there are links on WWE.com. Speaking of WWE.com, go to MakeAWish.com. Make a child's wish come true. Type in the name that the child requests. It can be Dean Ambrose. It can be Seth Rollins. It could be Roman Reigns. It could be John Cena. It could be anybody that you want. Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Sasha Banks, any Olympic athlete, NBA All-Star, or NFL All-Star. For more information, go to MakeAWish.com, the official sponsor of WWE WrestleMania 34 and WWE and sports in general. All right, folks, that does it. Oh, wait, no, it doesn't. For those of you wanting to sign up for the WWE Network, you can do so by going to WWE.com, clicking on the link, Com Network. Type in a valid username, which would be your email address, and create your own password. Get your first month free. And with a preloaded card only costing $29.97, you can purchase those on the shop and also pick them up at your local GameStops, Dollar Generals, Walmarts, Best Buy, and 7-Elevens. The network card gets you 3 months after your first month free, so you get 4 months total, which means you get Fastlane, WrestleMania, Extreme Rules, Survivor Series. Well, no, you'd have to get a valid credit card or debit card to do so. But anyways, it's only $9.99 a month. So, all right, folks, you know what time it is. That does it for the advertisements, and it leads right into this shindig. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of something I would be. Alright, ladies and germs. The time of the show when basically I say what's on my mind regarding professional wrestling. So, to continue talking about one issue is going to get old, but I'm going to talk to you, if you will, about something that really just makes me smile. It's the same thing, you know, wrestling fandom. I've discussed this probably a million times with probably no direction and some random rambling. Wrestling fandom, my trip to WrestleMania, and also something really cool that caught my attention that I'm going to discuss on the very first leg of Off the Rails Wrestle Radio Edition, Monday Edition. The Ultimo Dragon and Sonny Ono are going to be appearing at an Armory. Do you know how packed that house is going to be? I mean, I remember watching Ultimo Dragon when I was probably 8, 9 years old in WCW, and that man had probably 10, 11 championships around his arm, three or four on another arm. That man was not just a cruiserweight champion in WCW. This man wrestled throughout, you know, in Japan, obviously. It was world famous because of the men that he surpassed and beat, destroyed, not maimed, but basically showed why he is Ultimo Dragon. So Sonny Ono was the very first creator of selfies, Polaroid selfies, because before selfies were a thing on Snapchat, and trust me, it's worn out its welcome in some instances on Snapchat. I haven't really... Snapchat's kind of fun. It's a fun way of interacting with others. But I do want to say this right now. The Ultimo Dragon, as a wrestler, probably set some records that are not meant to be broken as a wrestler, as a cruiserweight. Now, granted, you have Ric Flair, who was 16-time champion. You have the Ultimo Dragon, who never puts people to sleep, ever, in his career. You have Sonny Ono, who managed Harlem Heat and Ultimo Dragon, a lot of people. So these two will be appearing, folks, I believe, let me do my research here. Aha! It says, NGW, April 22nd, the Ultimo Dragon will be appearing at Newport, Tennessee National Guard Armory. I think I'm going to make a trip out to Tennessee just so I can get an autograph from these awesome individuals. I mean, look at this. The man looks like he hasn't aged. Oh, and that concludes me talking about the Ultimo Dragon, because I could spend hours upon hours speaking about matches that he's had not only in the United States and WCW, but also abroad. Man, this man has traveled all the way from the UK, London, to Australia, to wrestle anywhere and everywhere that has a wrestling ring. And Sonny Ono, one of my managing favorites, you know, could not speak clear and concise English, but I will tell you, that man as a manager, by far, gives a lot of edge to whoever he manages. I'm pretty sure my fellow managers will agree. Now, let's move on. Wrestling fandom. A beautiful thing, right? You love wrestling. You talk about it. You discuss it. When does it get ugly? As soon as there is a disagreement. And then that turns into a cycle of, you don't like so-and-so. You don't know what you're talking about. You just said I had the IQ of 12. I hate to break it to you, but some of you do. Because if a man sitting in front row, in front of me, was discussing Enzo Amore, for those of you who really dig into a wrestler because you really like him and you want to meet him and you want to say, hi, I'm the biggest mark for you, or I'm the biggest fan for you, how is it you don't know certain wrestlers' real names? And that's a good thing, right? But when you, his real name is Enzo. I thought his real name was Enzo. Yowza? No. I would not go by the stereotypical Italian name if I were Italian to go by Enzo, unless that was my birth-given name, okay? What I'm referring to is wrestling fandom as a whole right now. It's fun because you have different spectrums. You have CZW fans, you've got PWG, you've got PGW, Progress Wrestling, ICW in London in the UK, Big Lads Wrestling. I mean, come on, Keith Lee, and I forget who else, but you have a variety, it's not just centered in around WCW anymore and WWE. Obviously WCW being defunct and turning itself into TNA, that's, you know, a different story. When does wrestling fandom get ugly? It's just like when you start discussing anything politics or religion, because you know someone's going to have facts on their end to back up what they believe, and you're going to have somebody on the complete opposite. And how do you know that I said this and I said that about religion or politics, yada, yada, yada. Same thing goes for wrestling. If you've been on the other end of any spectrum, whether it be sports, whether it be announcing, whether it be TV, journalism, whatever, it's always funny how you know you're going to get a reaction regardless of what someone thinks, says, or does. Because you cannot and I've said this a million times, you cannot change the way people think, act, or feel unless you physically, verbally, well, sometimes verbally, show them with facts to back up how you feel. Wrestling fandom used to be fun. In some instances, it's more or less become, I see this, I've seen this once, I don't want to see it again type of thing. So in other words, there's no element of surprise because everyone reads the fucking dirt sheets and they don't want to be in, they don't want to have fun. Some of you, not all of you, some of you. Oh, yes. There's also different levels of fandom. There's dirt sheet mark fandom. You read everything an article says and believes 100%. Then there's the fan that sits there to argue with somebody who's been in the business. And you're just thinking to yourself, I don't know everything, but I do know that you're wrong. You're saying that in the back of your head as this person tries to relay the words. I know this business just as good as anyone. No, the fuck you don't. If you're dressed in a bunny outfit, that doesn't negate the fact of your intelligence. But when you do say things that are so fucking stupid, and I can tell that what you say to me is stupid is because it's one-sided. You have to, in anything, you have to be thinking, okay, well, maybe if they think this way, this must be where they're coming from. So I listen. That's why I say it's always important to listen to conversations all the way through when it comes to fandom and wrestling. Because if you don't, well, that means, you know, you're stuck in your ways as a worker and you're stuck in your ways as a fan. This brings me to my next point. Whenever you train in wrestling, you're supposed to be known as the guy or gal that sets the tone for which company you work for, right? So that means 8x10s, T-shirts, what have you. And I know I'm switching subjects here right now, but I'm bothered by this in some instances. Wrestlers who think that fans, you know, really don't understand or comprehend what they're doing. They don't understand the sacrifice. Do you know what it's like waiting, watching your shit, do you? Sometimes you guys may think this is very entertaining for us because we're the wrestlers, you guys should be entertained. So there's your first mistake. Because if you keep it fucking complicated, then the fans are going to not understand where you're trying to go with it. Some will, but some won't. So the next area that I'd like to speak with you about for the next 16 minutes is about where wrestlers go right and where wrestlers go wrong. Wrestlers can go right, you know, by, you know, having a bad match, and the fans will still be like, man, I really didn't like your match this time, but maybe it'll get better the next time. Where you go wrong is when you post stuff on social media about what a fan said or did, sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's not. How would you feel if someone aired out your personal details about what you do as a super fan boy or super fan girl and then, you know, present it like it was Christmas? Because this is how petty it's getting between wrestler and fan. Fan said something about an independent wrestler just recently, and it didn't get blown out of proportion. The wrestler just confronted this dude who was being an idiot fan, just saying just random stuff through the crowd. Now, that confrontation's all fine, all high and mighty to me. However, you know, I'm not saying a wrestler can't confront a fan for being a douche canoe, but when you do it online, that makes you look like an even bigger one. If a fan's wanting to get into your pants and do something retarded, then, you know what, keep it to yourself. Because if you think that highly of yourself to post it online, like, OMG, you just want the reassurance that I'm the next big thing. It grates on my last nerves when wrestlers do that. It also grates on my last nerves when fans, that's a botch, that's a botch. So then why don't you traipse your happy little ass in the ring and show them how it's done? I mean, your backyard's obviously not doing the job. And also, the conversations that I've had in the past and now, that varied. It's a lot more positive when it comes to being both on the wrestling side of things and also the fan side of things. Yeah, I'm guilty of critiquing too. I'm not going to lie. Because to me, the recent match that I saw at GWF with my buddy of mine who became champion, there are tidbits that I liked and there's tidbits that I did not. I'm not going to sit here the entire podcast and say what I didn't like. Then that begs the question, why did I even show my ass up there in Independence, Missouri? But back to, you know, wrestlers who think their shit doesn't stink. I've said this plenty of times before on shows. You know what? I can't change who you are as a person, but I can let you know and be aware of that. If you keep doing what you're doing, you're still going to be stuck where you are 10, 20 years from now. But if you, by happenstance, decide to change things up just a smidgen, even just a little, it's not going to hurt you. Not just your wrestling style, dudes, but like your ability to engage the audience in a positive way. Not just on social media, but engage them in a positive way. I don't care if you're fucking heel or not, man. You do that to a kid, they're supposed to hate you. That's the life and role of a heel. It's very unforgiving at times because your merch sales take a dive during the night. You know, it's funny. I've been on a lot of shows, or not been on a lot of shows, but been through some shows where I've noticed that even the heels will sell some merch because they're very crafty at what they do. So in other words, it's very, very easy to engage your audience and be nicer. Just a smidgen, or don't you not even care what they say to you, whether it be sexual or non-sexual. So in other words, keep your fucking smut thoughts to yourself, please. Two, if you know the wrestler is going to expose you for who you are, then why the fuck did you just do it? Because that causes angst from a fan's perspective, too. If they're attracted to you, that's a compliment, as one wise man said during one of his seminars, which, speaking of which, Uncle Bob, Brutal Bob Evans, is going full-time to professional wrestling. He's quitting his daytime job as a newspaper distributing manager. God love Uncle Bob to death, because he always says there's two sides or more to every story. And there's two sides on how to treat people. You can either treat them badly and poorly, and they'll not forgive you. Because fans will forgive you for a botulized match. But we won't forget how you treat us. Good or bad, you may think, well, what is this fucker talking about? I treat fans just as good, that's why I sell t-shirts. You're missing the fucking point. You can make it all about money and still make it be a success in the business. However, if you treat fans like absolute shit, what do you think that does to their morale and how they perceive you? It doesn't make any bit of damn sense, right? And I got 10 minutes left in the show to make this a point. Wrestlers who think their shit doesn't stink, it's really not on me to go out and preach and be a psych therapist to you and say you need this medication to make you less of an asshole. Fans who try and argue with a wrestler, if you think that you can win in that regard, you're going to lose. If you think you can out-argue a wrestler because of your perspective, you are going to, that's going to be an uphill battle. Just enjoy the fucking show, man. Why as a fan be so concerned about the little minute things that don't matter? Like if a wrestler steps you for an autograph, there's probably a reason. Just like if they're One, they're tired. Two, they got to go to the next town if they're wrestling a weekend in the summer or something like that. So in other words, you can't consistently say, I hate this guy because he was douche-canoe when I met him, and I pay his salary. You'd think that he would do the right thing and give me an autograph. Well, dude, to answer your question about that, it's happened to me. I don't mind the fact that John Cena did that. Still don't like John Cena. He's not one of my fan favorites, but he does have an image to uphold, blah, 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 blah. That's how I'm going to answer the question, because I've only got 9 minutes. So to continue what I'm saying, I've observed some wrestlers, not all, and some of them really grasp the concept of why we do this. It's the kids, the little ones, man. They are the reason why we get up and we go to that armory or we go to that big arena in WWE and we see them dressed like us, even if I'm saying us because I'm a manager, and that automatically loops me into this discussion of being a businessman, if you will, in the world of wrestling. So you get up, you see them on the side dressed as you. That's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool feeling. I don't speak for every wrestler, and I don't speak for every businessman involved in professional wrestling, but what I can tell you is the dynamic of wrestler and fan, oh, man. Like I said, I have been town to town in different regions of the country. I've even been a long time ago overseas, saw probably one New Japan event back in 2008 or 2009. I can tell you, wrestlers, the American wrestlers are worshipped like gods in New Japan. Thank you to a guest that was prior on Wrestle Radio. Her name, Ronnie Nicole, stated that. Now, granted, you know, she said it best. You know, some promoters are in it for themselves. Some promoters really have good intentions, but they just don't have direction. And certain wrestlers, she said, I'm one of those people that's less concerned about what others are doing. I'm more concerned about what I'm doing and how I can better myself. So wrestlers who maintain focus on positive things and positive things around them, they go places. Wrestlers who are concerned about what every fan person in the stands is saying, they're really losing touch with what wrestling is about. It's interpreted in many different ways in a lot of different languages, but the main language wrestling, it's not just to entertain, but it's to put on a good show for wrestling fans. That's it. That's all you owe us. Pay your salary, because obviously in the independents, if we say that we pay your salary, that's kind of true, because at the gate they have to divide it up by how many wrestlers there are, and then they give you your cut. It's not a guarantee. Sometimes you don't get paid. And for fans, okay, word to the wise, so you don't make a complete ass out of yourself, make sure that you make it air apparent to be cordial. Have some form of etiquette with the wrestlers, because if they stiff you on an autograph, there's probably a reason. If wrestlers are tired and they're sweaty and they don't want to, you know, sit and chat with you, and they say, well, man, it was nice chatting with you, I have to go, means because they're tired, they're hungry, they want to go eat, they've worked a really hard show, and their body is sore. So from that perspective, I can defend wrestlers. However, when you post your shit online, whether regarding of them wanting to get into your pants, I really don't want to fucking know that, because taking a look at you, yeah, you might be attractive, but your attitude really, at this point, of portraying a psychotic fan as a joke, you know, karma's a bitch, dude. It can come back to bite you. Because if you are wanting a spot in WWE, if you're wanting a spot anywhere that's regarding professional wrestling, they do pay attention to your social media accounts. Trust me, they do. Anyways, folks, regarding, what goes on, this is what I can tell you. If you are leaving somebody a message, fans, this is regarding to all of us, don't post anything sexual, political, sports is okay if you're not an idiot about it, okay? But please keep in mind, we're all humans. Just because the title of wrestler and fan is put in front of us does not mean one or the other can treat each other like a bunch of ass, or a bunch of assholes. So, in other words, don't fuck up. If you know that this wrestler or fan is notorious for doing something stupid to expose you for who you are, my advice is just work it one day at a time and do the best you can. That's all you can do. Oh, and for those of you wondering about WrestleMania and Survivor Series, don't panic. Just go to Ticketmaster.com. You should be able to get the seats. I mean, trust me, Survivor Series has travel packages available. So they do. Anyways, that was off subject. My bad, ladies and gents. I have 2 minutes left in this broadcast to discuss with you what's all going down. Amaya Jade will be a future guest in the coming weeks on April. To be specific, to be brand specific, Miss Jade will be on with us April 3rd, 2018, 2 days before I traverse to WrestleMania 34, and I cannot wait to have her on my show. She's an amazing individual. She'll also be at WrestleCon. So for those of you going to WrestleCon, make sure you get your tickets now. But back to the point. If you know that somebody's a dick, that's the point in your career as a fan and as a wrestler. Don't uncover them for who they are. If you know someone's a psychopath, if you take screenshots of it, yes, it is highly entertaining to see what said psychopath said online, but it's also annoying and pretentious if you're a worker to post, well, this is what I think of you, and I could do this to you, and I could do that to you. Just leave it at, I think you're really cute, and I hope this doesn't make things weird or unusual. That's all I have left, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in tomorrow for Wrestle Radio Tuesday. It's going to be one hell of a fun ride on the road to WrestleMania. SmackDown Live Preview, and a partridge in a fucking pear tree. I am Brian Rails, and if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got 3 choice words for you. Forget about it. And another note, I got to go eat. Toodles, bitches. Have a nice day, night, whatever. Have fun. It's going to be a blast. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost was so high.